Hi, this is Matt, the stay-at-home geek dad in Northern California. You found the Geek Dad Show, and this is episode 3, 5 steps to making vegetables your kids will eat. Thanks for listening. Let's get to it. Good day and welcome into episode 3 of the Geek Dad Show. Thanks for tuning us in. You know, that phrase is not very podcast. You don't typically tune in a podcast. Seems like a very radio phrase. But this isn't radio. This is the podcast where we talk about the intersection of parenting and technology. And I am very glad you are here. Our intro song is, as always, Insurgent by Grant Bowtie. You can find this song and more of Grant's work on his SoundCloud page. The link is in the show notes, which you can find at geekdad.thestrangeland.net/3. Today I want to talk to you about vegetables. We all know our kids and even ourselves need to eat our vegetables. Many of us grew up in households where vegetables weren't all that important, or which consisted of boiled broccoli, boiled corns, boiled greens, boiled whatever mom found in the produce department. My own childhood was filled with mostly good vegetable dishes, with the occasional overcooked Brussels sprout or asparagus thrown in on a special occasion. Today, having learned a bit about cooking and how to use vegetables properly, I can say there is only one common everyday vegetable I don't care for, and that is the lima bean. I hate them. I've never had a lima bean that didn't taste like something a cat had coughed up in the middle of the night. If you're a lima bean fan, you can direct any hate mail to me here at Podcast Central. The email address for hate or any other kind of mail is, of course, feedback@thestrangeland.net. So here's our list of the 5 steps to making vegetables your kids will eat. And they are: number 1, buy good veggies. Number 2, vary your cooking method. Number 3, use hidden veggies, and I'll tell you what I mean by that in a minute. Number 4, seasoning and cheese sauce are okay, in moderation, of course. And number 5, be a good example. Now, I realize this is not entirely a preparation or recipe type step, but it's really important that we set a good example for our kids. So if y'all are ready, let's go right ahead and get into our main topic. See you in a minute. So let's get into our steps. The first one, of course, as I listed, is buy good veggies. Now, this seems like kind of a no-brainer, but if you don't know how to select veggies, you put yourself at a disadvantage kind of to start with. One debate for starters is fresh versus canned versus frozen. In my opinion, fresh is always best. From a farmer's market or a friend's garden would be ideal, or from your own garden, but we'll probably have an episode about that coming up next spring. One of the best reasons to visit farmers markets is because you can ask the people who grow the vegetables any questions that you have about them. So if you see a weird squash or a funky leafy green vegetable, you can ask what it's like and how to cook it. Now, I'm fortunate to live in the agricultural heart of California. Chances are if you eat garlic or a raisin or an almond, it was grown within 100 miles of my house. It is very easy to find farmers markets and produce stands and other outlets for finding fresh local produce. Even our local grocery stores make a point of sourcing local ingredients. As I said, I'm very fortunate. However, if you can't get fresh veggies for some or most of the year, or if you're concerned about them going bad in your refrigerator, I suggest frozen vegetables as your next best choice. I do not recommend using canned veggies for much of anything. Canned corn or canned green beans can be used in a pinch, but I usually just use frozen. Now, if you're making creamed corn or creamed spinach, those kinds of things are easily made not from a can, but from fresh ingredients on the stovetop, and we can talk a bit more about that in another episode. The only time that I prefer canned vegetables is if one of my kids is sick and I want to throw together some semi-homemade soup. If I keep some low-sodium canned mixed vegetables and some low-sodium broth on hand, I can throw together soup in like 4 minutes in the microwave. Plus, I get to control the ingredients in case of allergies or cut down on the massive amounts of sodium in canned soup. These are just some suggestions of how to select the best vegetables for your family. Again, if you don't know how to pick a vegetable and you're in the supermarket, find a produce manager or somebody that's stocking the shelves in the produce department and ask them how to prepare a particular vegetable, what the best way is, and what they taste like if you've never had that one before. So I really do encourage you to get out into farmers markets, farm stands. I know we're heading into winter in a lot of the world, and these things aren't going to be available until next summer. For now, I would suggest buying frozen vegetables. They're usually just about as good as you can get after fresh, of course. So step two is vary your cooking method. Now, most home cooks treat veggies in one of two ways. Either they boil them or microwave them. In many cases, using a microwave is fine, but I really don't recommend boiling much of anything except pasta. My favorite methods for preparing fresh vegetables are roasting and steaming. Roasting is defined as a dry heat cooking method utilizing an enclosed space, such as an oven. You can roast most any vegetable, including cabbages, such as broccoli, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts. And yes, broccoli and cauliflower are members of the cabbage family. Root vegetables, like potatoes, carrots, onions, garlic, or even pseudo-veggies, which of course we all know are not actual veggies, but they're fruits, things like gourds, squash, tomatoes, bell peppers, those kinds of things. You can find a lot of recipes for roasted veggies online, but I tend to think simple is better. I suggest you just cut up whatever vegetables you're using into similarly sized pieces, toss them with some olive oil or vegetable oil, and sprinkle them with salt, pepper, and herbs, or maybe a seasoning blend. More about that in a minute. Then put them on a baking sheet or in like a Pyrex lasagna pan and stick in a preheated 400 degree oven. You can roast them, for most vegetables, roast about 15 to 20 minutes and stir halfway through. It's absolutely delicious. Now when it comes to steaming, you don't need specialized equipment. If you have a steamer, that's great. I happen to have a combination steamer, rice cooker, slow cooker that I picked up at Costco for about $40. One of the best kitchen appliances I've ever bought. In fact, I have several really good things that I like to use in the kitchen. So I'm thinking at some point an episode on kitchen basics and the tools that I utilize in the kitchen might be a good idea for an episode. So if you're interested in hearing something like that, send me some feedback. You can use email and send it to feedback@thestrangeland.net, or if you go to our website at geekdad.thestrangeland.net and look in the navigation menu, you will find a contact page, and you can just fill out a form right there on the website, and that gets delivered directly into my email. So anyway, as I was talking about steaming, I often just steam broccoli or green beans in the microwave. And to do this, you cut the broccoli into florets and, you know, trim the ends, little stick ends off of your fresh green beans. Place into a quart or gallon-sized zip-top bag, depending on how big of a serving or how many people you're trying to serve. When I cook for my kids and I, I generally just use a quart size zip top bag and fill it up with either green beans or broccoli florets. And I add about 3 or 4 tablespoons of water. You can put seasoning in the zip top bag. I really like dill for dark green vegetables. I think dill just really goes well with broccoli or green beans in particular. Seal the zip top bag, leaving about a finger width opening at the top. Put it on a microwave safe plate or in a microwave safe bowl so it stands up. If you feel like you need to have it stand up so the water doesn't leak out. Put it in the microwave and microwave it for anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes, depending on the power of your microwave. Let it stand in the microwave for about a minute after cooking. Then you can use that finger width opening that we left in the zipper for steam to come out. You can use that to drain out any water that might still exist in the bag, and you can pour it out. Pour your broccoli or your green beans out into a serving bowl, and that's it. Easy peasy. You know, come to think of it, this would work really good with fresh peas as well. Just follow that exact same procedure, and dill, again, would be a great choice. Another full-time dad I know through Facebook turned me onto an idea which I adapted just last week. Jeffrey Weaver is in New Haven, Connecticut. And he suggested making a vegetable ragu and serving it over pasta. He does this by chopping up cooked veggies, heating them in an organic tomato sauce, and then pouring them over pasta. I thought this was a great idea. What I did was I used squash, potatoes, carrots, and red onion, which I seasoned with olive oil and salt and pepper and herbs, and roasted in that 400-degree oven I was telling you about. When they were cooked, I poured a jar of pasta sauce over my tray of roasted veggies and left it in the oven for another 6 or 7 or 8 minutes. Then I pulled it out, sprinkled the whole thing with Parmesan and a little bit of mozzarella cheese, and let it sit so that the cheese could melt. And then I scooped it and served it over steamed rice. The kids and the wife loved it, ate it right up. So that's another great way that you can get some veggies in your kids and in your family. And it's really good, and that's a meatless dish if you do it that way. Now, you could also, if you wanted the extra protein, you could add some grilled chicken or shrimp, or even some low-sodium Italian sausage would be really good mixed up in that mélange and served with rice or pasta. So you should try that. Sounds delicious. I'm getting hungry right now as I'm talking about it. Okay, step 3, use hidden veggies. Now, my favorite hidden veggie application isn't really hidden at all, but I haven't met a kid yet that wouldn't eat it. And it's a homemade split pea soup. It's a really easy dish to make. You can make it on the stovetop or in the slow cooker, and it comes out great. I've even made a baked version where I sauteed everything in a pan in a Dutch oven, threw the lid on, put in my broth and threw it in the oven. And that way I could leave the house. It's almost like having a slow cooker if you do it in a low oven. You don't have to worry about a flame or a hot coil on your stovetop. I'll throw my classic easy split pea recipe in the show notes, so you can give that a try if you like. Again, you can find the show notes at geekdad.thestrangeland.net/3. And I will have the recipe typed out. I will also have a link to a PDF version of the recipe if you would like to download it and print it out at home. So there's a couple other ways to use hidden veggies. The easiest is probably with dried pasta. In our grocery store, there's a couple of brands that use vegetable flour along with the wheat flour when they make traditional pasta, shapes like rotini and penne, elbows, etc. Some of them are colored, like you'll see tri-colored rotini, and you'll have green and white and red, and that has spinach flour and tomato flour. Some of them are, like I said, some of them are colored, and some just look like regular pasta. When you combine these with a good organic jar of red pasta sauce, you have an easy, meatless, veggie-filled meal. Pick up some garlic bread in the bakery, and you are out of the grocery store in 5 minutes with a meal for 4 people for about $10. You could also use the vegetable pasta in your favorite casserole or mac and cheese recipe. Alton Brown of the Food Network has an amazing baked mac and cheese recipe, and I've linked to it also in the show notes. So if your kids like mac and cheese, this is one of the best baked mac and cheeses I've ever made. It's just really awesome. And lastly, on the subject of hidden veggies, I want to bring you an idea from another stay-at-home dad, Spike Zelenka of Las Vegas, Nevada. Spike is dad to two twin boys, and he actually writes a blog over at www.doubletroubledaddy.com. As I said, he's a dad of twin boys, so he's the double trouble daddy. Go check out Spike. He's a neat guy. Spike suggests buying a frozen bag of peas and carrots, and you can get them combined, or you can get a bag of frozen peas and a bag of frozen carrots. Defrosting them and then pureeing them in a blender. You may have to add a little broth or water to get it to come together. The resulting mash can be mixed into pasta sauce or meatballs. This is what Spike likes to do. He can just heat his pasta sauce on the stove and stir in this pureed vegetable blend, and you don't even notice that it's there. It thickens the sauce up a little bit, but it's a great way to get some hidden veggies in to the kids. I would also add that meatloaf would be good to use this puree, just like you would do with the meatballs. Use it as a binder, a thickener, but do it in a meatloaf. You could also use it to thicken chili or sloppy joes. So either of those applications would be great. Or you might even be able to think of other ways to use these pureed vegetables. Peas and carrots both have a slight sweetness to them. So you could even mix them into a bread batter, like a zucchini bread or banana bread or pumpkin bread. Pumpkin bread is really big this time of year. And you could mix that in to the batter in replacing some of the liquid. And you could have a really neat way to hide some veggies inside some things you know your kids are going to like. Big thanks to Spike for that contribution. Spike posts recipes on his blog under the heading Food Sunday. As I said, the link to his blog at doubletroubledaddy.com is in the show notes, so check it out when you get a chance. Okay, number four on our list, seasoning and cheese sauce is okay. Just do it in moderation. To my mind, there's no better veggie combination in the world than roasted cauliflower with cheddar cheese sauce. It's just fantastic. There's something about sharp cheddar and cauliflower. It's amazing. Another great one is Brussels sprouts with bacon or even a classic asparagus with hollandaise sauce. I don't know about you, but my parents seem to think that adding these flavors somehow detracted from the healthiness of the veggies. I say if it gets your kids to eat more veggies, it's awesome. Now, there are some caveats, of course. Adding butter, cheese, pork, you know, bacon, anything like that, it's going to add fat grams and calories. Too much salt can also be a problem. Please hear me when I say I am not a doctor or a nutritionist, and if you have concerns, please consult one. But I will tell you that in my personal experience, a careful use of seasoning and sauces can break down the walls between your kids and vegetables. My 12-year-old particularly is not a big fan of broccoli, but when I steam broccoli, I always sprinkle a little shredded cheddar cheese on top for him, and it melts, and he always likes that a little bit better. So, you can also consider Mrs. Dash or one of the other salt-free seasoning blends that you'll find in the grocery store. Now, I did mention a brand name, and I want to take this opportunity to remind you that I do not take sponsorships or any advertising for this podcast. So if you hear me mention a product by name, it is because it is one I use and enjoy and get good value from. Nobody is paying me to tell you to go buy Mrs. Dash. So please remember that opinions are mine and not influenced by any kind of corporate sponsorship. So just wanted to remind you of that. I want you to be able to trust what I have to tell you and trust the authenticity and the integrity of my opinion. So you can find Mrs. Dash and those kinds of things in the spice aisle of the grocery store, and they're pretty foolproof. I do recommend, again, like I said, using a salt-free blend. That way you can add as much seasoning as you want without sending the salt and sodium levels through the roof. If you're going to roast the veggies, like I was talking about previously up in step two, You can just, like I said, toss them with some olive oil and sprinkle them with your chosen spice. Your chosen spice blend. Blech. Sorry, everybody, I'm tripping over my tongue today. And if you're using a salt-free blend, you can also sprinkle with a little bit of coarse ground salt and a coarse ground pepper. If you're steaming veggies, either in the microwave version, as I described previously, or if you have one of the basket insert steamers, or even if you just set a metal colander full of veggies over a pot of boiling water and let the steam come up through, you can put some dried herbs or a dried herb blend into the water that you're steaming with, and it will infuse the flavor right into the veggies. It's really cool. One of the last things in terms of seasoning is a very simple sauce that is really basically just, well, it's called browned butter, and it can very much up the flavor of your dishes. If you've ever been to the Old Spaghetti Factory, that's a restaurant. I know we have them. I know we have them over most of the U.S. If you're international, I don't know if you have the Old Spaghetti Factory, but if you've been there, you've probably had their broccoli with brown butter. It's pretty easy to make. You just put a stick of butter in your smallest saucepan over your lowest heat, and it will melt and it'll start to smell nutty and turn just a little bit brown. This is really easiest to do in like a stainless steel or like a light colored pan. If you use a nonstick, the dark coating can make it hard to tell when the butter's brown. But when it is brown, remove it from the heat and add just a tablespoon of fresh lemon juice. And if you're using unsalted butter, you can add a pinch of salt at this point. But if you're not using unsalted butter, then leave the salt out at the end. You will notice in the grocery store when you go to buy butter, you'll see all unsalted and sweet. And I always buy unsalted butter because I figure if I'm going to add salt to whatever dish I'm making, I can do that, but I can't take the salt out of the butter. So I always buy unsalted butter. So if you make this brown butter, you can store it in a jar or a plastic container in the refrigerator for about a week. It is great on dark green veggies, like I said, broccoli, spinach, Brussels sprouts. It's also great to toss with some cooked spaghetti and top with some grilled shrimp, but that might be another episode. So moving on to step five of our list, and let's run through the list again so you can remember. The first one, number one, buy good veggies. Number two, vary your cooking method. Number three, use hidden veggies. Number four, seasoning and cheese sauce are okay, in moderation, of course. And lastly, step five, as I mentioned earlier, is be a good example. So lastly, and possibly most importantly, you have to eat veggies yourself. As the parent, don't be the parent that loads up their kid's plate with broccoli and then you just eat the meatloaf and potatoes and tell them, do as I say, not as I do. Your kids will learn so much more about how to eat right by watching you do it than if you just tell them about it. To this end, if you need to, I suggest you practice eating veggies. Take your spouse out on a date, go out to a vegan or a vegetarian restaurant and try some dishes. Better yet, go out to a restaurant that features veggies in their cuisine. Japanese, Vietnamese, Indian, Thai. These are all good places to order vegetable dishes and practice eating them so that when you're ready to have veggies at home, you don't look at that zucchini that's on your plate with the same sort of fear that is on your kids' faces. Also, when you're serving kids a meal, don't serve them the veggies and not put any on your own plate. You want them to be healthy and to get all the vitamins and minerals they need to grow strong. They want you to be healthy too, so dive right in. It's very, very important that we be a good example, not only in the kinds of foods we eat and the kinds of exercise that we get, but also the amount of food we put on our plates. These are all things that our kids are going to learn from us. So that's our five steps. Pretty easy, pretty basic, but I hope it'll give you something to think about. Let's review the steps one more time. Number one, buy good veggies. Number two, vary your cooking method. Number three, use hidden veggies. Number four, seasoning and cheese sauce are okay. In moderation, of course, and be a good example. So, well, thanks for checking this out, and I'll be right back to wrap us up. this list of steps has been helpful in getting you started on the path to more veggies in your diet and maybe less battle at the dinner table. If your family does fun things with veggies, I'd love for you to tell me about it. Drop me a line or leave a comment on the show notes. The show notes can be found at geekdad.thestrangeland.net/3. Feedback is always welcome by email to feedback@thestrangeland.net. Also, follow me on Twitter. I am at @SAHGeekDad. For updates on when new shows are coming out, you can follow the show on Twitter. The Twitter handle for the show is @GeekDadShow. And I have those links in the show notes. On the next episode, we're going to be getting back into the geek. I hope to be discussing cloud storage and cloud backup options and if you should really use them. So join me next time for To Cloud or Not To Cloud. The music that you're hearing now is a track called I Won't Go to Bed by Adhita Sofyan. You can find it on his SoundCloud page. I have a link in the show notes. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Geek Dad Show. Bye now.